Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. The relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Parikshit's question as to how a living entity began his material life, although he is apart from the material body and mind, is perfectly answered. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life, but is absorbed in such a material, but he is absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord, called Atma Maya. This has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vasudeva's realization of the Supreme Lord and his external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and the living entities are controlled by the external energy. But the will of the Lord, by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although the living entity is purely conscious in his pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord in being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, also the same thing is confirmed. The Lord is present within the heart of every living entity, and all the living entities' consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the Lord. Now, the next question automatically made will be why the Lord influences a living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness. The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they want to become like him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification. When the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put into a condition of dreaming that he is the king. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget its factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia, where he may become one like the Lord. The child cries to have the moon from the mother, and the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection of the material world to lord it over as karma, and to give up his frustration to become with one with the Lord. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this, but the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity, in his material condition, is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks of of his material body as I, or falsely thinks that he is the Lord, and that everything in connection with the material body is mine. Thus only in dream does the misconception of I and mine persist life after life. This continues life after life as long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his identity as a subordinate part and parcel of the Lord. In his pure consciousness, however, there is no such misconceived dream, and in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he is never the Lord, that he is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love. Om aganti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasaya bhutale srimati bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste sarasvati deve gauravani pacharine nirvishesha sunyavadi pastachare sacharine. So the last thing, one of the last things Prabhupada spoke when he was leaving this world, he was trying to translate the Srimad Bhagavatam with great effort, and at one point he said, we are not these bodies. And he said, and secondly, don't think this won't happen to you. And so that was, you know, after years of preaching, 12 years of travelling and preaching, and still he was just making this point, because it's such a difficult point to understand. Theoretically, we can understand it, but practically, it's a different thing. So this requires Bhakti Yoga. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janati Asyavairam Janacha Yad Ahaitakam. So, you know, by worshipping Lord Vasudev, then two things happen. We become fixed in knowledge, we become convinced we're not the body, and we become detached. But while we have some attachment, then, you know, we'll find that life is difficult. For the pure devotee who's completely detached, there's no difficulty, because he's always in full remembrance of his situation in relation to the Lord. So, how do we get to this point in the Bhagavatam? So we'll just recap that, you know, Parikshit Maharaj at the end of the first chapter, he was asking, what should a person do who has only got 7 days to live? What should he, you know, what should he hear? What should he speak? Like that. And then the second canto is where the Bhagavatam actually really begins. And the first three chapters come under the heading of Bhakti Yoga. That, you know, first chapter explains the situation in this material world, how everybody is caught up in so many material activities. And the panacea is given, or partly is given in chapter 2, where it talks about the different processes of self-realization. But in chapter 3, the conclusive thing is devotional service, Bhakti Yoga. So as Keshava Maharaj was saying the other day, this is the conclusion of everything, perform devotional service. But, you know, to perform devotional service, it's not just a mechanical activity. It's an activity of the heart, an activity of the soul, with full knowledge. When we're in full knowledge, then that's real devotional service. Satam prasanga mama viri samvido. Samvido. Bhajanti, this means, samvido means to discuss in the association of devotees. Satam, in the Satam, the pure devotee, Satam Prasangam, Mamaviri Samvido, Bijanti Ritkarna Rasayanakata. When we do that, then it's very satisfying to the heart and pleasing to the ear. And one can actually advance in devotional life. So Parikshit Maharaj, as soon as he heard from Shukadev Goswami this conclusion, he became very introspective and he was quiet for some time. And, you know, he's just contemplating, this is the reality. He became convinced straight away. And so then he started asking some questions from chapter 4 to chapter 7. And in these, he was asking about the creation. The very thing he wants to give up, he's asking about, you know, he wants to know some details. So this is natural. You know, when you meet a person who's, you know, pretty absorbed in materialistic life, they don't start asking about transcendental subject matters. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking for the benefit of the general mass of people about the creation, how this material world is created, why is it created, and so many questions. And this fulfills two things. It's not only for the new devotee or the new person who's taking the Krishna consciousness, it's actually for us also. Because unless we understand properly our real situation, it's difficult to go forward. When we understand our situation, then we can go forward from that position. So that's one of the first things in devotional service, is that, you know, where are we at? if we think we're over here, we're not going to actually get things right. If we understand where we're at, then we can go forward. So that's the consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj. Then all the way through is for, you know, the next four chapters, it's speaking about this particular creation, and it's explain how previously Lord Brahma spoke this, Purusha Shukta prayers. And then eventually it comes to chapter 8. So this is the one that we've just finished. So chapter 8 means that questions by Parikshit Maharaj. Now he's finished up asking about the creation. It'll be asked again actually in the third canto. So, but when he's finished asking about the creation and about the material situation, he asks a more in-depth question in the 8th chapter, and this is the first answer that's given. The first question he asks is, you know, how does a living entity become trapped in this material world? How does he think he's the body? It's amazing, isn't it? We're not the body. We've got nothing to do with the body. But somehow or other, we're convinced we're the body. So that's the... this is what they call the... hard knot of material existence. We, you know, there's many prisons in the UK. What is it? Strange ways. What's it anymore? Wormwood scrubs. And this is a real... There's no actual walls to keep the living entity in this material world. But the actual attraction to this material world is actually the key. As soon as one becomes attracted to this body, then there's so many problems. So let's just move on to where we're at now. So then the subsequent questions which came from chapter 8 will also be answered later on in chapter 9. And what are those questions? I'll just read them to you. What's the forms of the Lord in matter and in spirit? What does that mean? It means the Lord's spiritual, and how is this material world related to him? And the answer is that actually I was here before, I'm here now, and I'm here after. Before this creation, during the creation, when the creation's wound up. These are the seed verses of the Bhagavatam. The next question he asks that, how does the Lord How does the Lord interact with this material world? Vite artam yat pratieta. He says that explaining this point here, that it's just a reflection. The very same things being, like the child is given the mirror by the mother, says this material world is just like that. It's just a reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And anybody who sees anything different from that, then this is illusion, the grossest ignorance. And then third question. You know, how does the Lord work with his energies? So anybody got the answer to that one? How does he work with his energies? Any scholars? He says the Lord is inside everything and he's outside everything. It's not like the energies are different from him. He says, you know, just like the universal elements, they enter into the cosmos. So this is, you know, this is like difficult to understand. The universal elements, where did they come from? They enter into the cosmos. You know, it says, actually the universal elements are the cosmos. So in the same way, the Lord is actually this material creation. Mayata tamidam sarvam javak avyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani naham teshu avash titaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, all this universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then the next verse says, but behold my mystic opulence, although I am a part of this material world, although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this material world. So this is the science of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So all these questions are answered in this ninth chapter. And, you know, it's relating to this particular question. Where does it start? Krishna Bhairam Hiramukha Bhoga Vanchakari Nikatastha Maya Japati Adari. As soon as there's an inclination to enjoy Krishna's position, then the material, japati adari, the material energy immediately puts us into the material concept of life. There's two energies in this respect. One is called the antaranga shakti. That means that this covers us. The covering potency of the Lord. What's the other one? Sorry, I've got it. Prakshepakmika. This is the pushing potency. Avaranaratmika and Prakshepakmika. I've got it wrong, actually. Avaranaratmika is the covering potency. Prakshepakmika is the pushing potency. So everybody feels this. I mean, it's difficult to perceive the covering potency. We're just put into a situation where we think with this body, this is what's causing it. Everything is an energy of the Lord. What is that? Parashya Shakti Vividaiva Surate. His energies are multifarious. One of the energies is that it covers us. Another energy is that it pushes us. So, you know, and so many other and there's so many different extensions of these, diversities of these energies, which are working in a certain way. We're never actually freed from that, those particular forces. has anybody experienced the Prakshepakmika energy? Like we said, we can't, the Antaranga, the Anaravatmika Shakti, we can't perceive because we're under it. But we can feel the presence of the Prakshepakmika Shakti. Has anybody got any examples they'd like to give? Does anybody feel pushed about sometimes? Ajamil, that's a good example, very good example. Ajamil was a Brahmin, he was actually a Paka Brahmin. So that means, you know, he was practicing controlling his senses. And, you know, he just actually lost his control for some time. He meditated on, you know, Sutra. associating with a prostitute, and his mind became completely attracted. He was pushed to act in a certain way. And so, you know, Goswami. Goswami means we're not pushed. This is the first instruction of spiritual life, how to overcome this conditioning. Next of instruction. Does anybody know the verse? Hey? Okay. So, yeah, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we try to actually enjoy Krishna's energy, when we try to take that position, we're not actually powerful enough. Ekala Eshvara Krishna Asa Britya. This means that Krishna is the supreme controller and we are actually his servants. Setayeti Nakari Nritya. Nritya means dance. Everybody is dancing according to the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what's that verse now? A few verses here. No, that's the wrong one. There's a verse which says, by what is one impelled to sinful activities as if by force? Balad eva nayojitaha. What is it? What is this impelling force which pushes us to enjoy this material energy? Kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhava. This lust. Lust is an advanced form of what? Desire. They're the same thing, but they just, you know, when it's like, first of all, there's thinking. We're actually desiring to do something. Identifying with the body means that, you know, we'll desire to satisfy the body. And so, first thing is thinking. Then there's what next is willing. Thinking, next one is feeling. We get a taste by meditating and then willing, then we desire to actually act. So this is the process of that Shukadeva Goswami is trying to explain to Parikshit Maharaj, how we've become so fixed in this bodily concept of life. Because actually there are five kinds of ignorance. The first ignorance is actually the biggest sin also, is to think with this body. Because actually if we think with the body, everything else will actually be activated by that thought. We act on the bodily platform. Second ignorance. What's the second ignorance? If we think with the body, we'll try to enjoy the body and everything related to it. And third ignorance. Have a look. What's the third ignorance? Riteya atamyat pratyeta. Reflection. To see things separate from Krishna. Like the child sees the reflection of the moon. So, fourth ignorance. Oh, no. I knew I should have... Lamentation. We lament over something we can't actually change. We dwell in the past or dwell in the future. Anchoring or lamenting, this is explained in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And then last one. Actually, I got two the wrong way around. The third one is fear. Fear out of bodily conception. Bhayam dvitiyabhinivasatah shat. As soon as we think we're actually the body, then everything becomes fearful. We have to maintain the body. We have to, protect the body, and so many other responsibilities fall upon our head. And last one is when we see things separate from Krishna. Okay, so cure. What's the cure? Ishupanishads is giving us an indication. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut vijnanataha tatroko moha. What's the tatroko? Moha kashoka ekatvam anupasyataha. So, when one sees that we are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one in qualities, spiritual sparks, one in quality, then he says, then one becomes a true know of everything. And in that condition, he says, what can be anxiety or illusion for that person? So the process is to connect everything with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. That unless, even an impersonalist, for some time he can hover on the mental platform of being freed from material existence, but in Srimad Bhagavatam it says this is actually not possible. He says it's mental liberation only. Factual liberation means engaging in practical devotional service. And when we engage in practical devotional service, we don't have to do anything else, actually. Just by that practical application and that absorption, he says we're not working on the bodily platform. The body doesn't exist. When we're actually absorbed in service, we're actually working on the platform of the soul. And this is the key. We don't have to separate ourselves from the body, like an impersonalist, but we can just practically engage in service. And when we're absorbed in service, we're not the body. It's like that. So, the supreme occupation, what's that say? Savai Pamsham, yeah, Paradharmo, Yato Bhaktir Adoksija, Ahoita Kiya Pratyaha, Yatma Supersidati. That supreme occupation for all living entities is to engage them somehow or other in the process of devotional service, either knowingly or unknowingly. And this is the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. This is the process that Lord Chaitanya gave us. But just by actually engaging people in hearing and chanting about Krishna, they start to engage in service to Krishna. And then by practical application of different angles of devotional service, we can be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So this is a very simple process, simple for the simple, Prabhupada said, but unless we, come to that platform of, just being able to serve Krishna without any material motives, then this is actually, these are like hooks which hold us back from becoming freed from this material existence. So everything is there for us. We just have to practice. By practicing, eventually we become less and less materially motivated. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, we're able to see that every day where we're actually performing things correctly, where we're actually not performing things correctly, and we're able to adjust. And so this is the hearing process doesn't mean hearing and not doing anything. Hearing means hearing, assimilating and putting into practice. So this is why we hear every day. A materialist is hearing so much every day in the material world and he's putting that into practice. And what happens is that he just becomes more and more entangled. Like now, the illusion is so great that even in there's a big war now in Ukraine. You know, it doesn't make sense to a devotee. The leaders of both sides, they can't win. How do they think they can win? How can, you know, a person, both leaders must be in their, I mean, he looks a bit younger, this, the Ukrainian leader, probably. He's in his 50s, right? And then there's Putin, he's in his 70s, 60s or 70s. And, you know, they've got probably, we don't know how long they've got, but let's give him 10 years. We'll give one of them, the first one, we'll give him 20 years, okay? The same one, he's got probably 10 years. And then everything's finished. And yet they're actually, you know, 100% engaged in trying to create a situation which will be beneficial for them. And they say beneficial beneficial for the word, for the world. So this is the effect. This is what Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadev Goswami. How is it that people can be so stupid and do so many things which are actually of no consequence and at the end get a bad result? So here, it's the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to remember that. We're not in control. Energies are working. We have to work with the energy and use it in Krishna's service. Just like if we go into the sea and we try to hold back the, you know, the waves or the tide, it's not possible. How can we get the best result in the sea? We actually go into the wave. So we learn how to use everything in Krishna's service. And this way, you know, we can become situated in our constitutional position, beyond seeing the reflection, but see the real thing. So we can stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.